It's lovely to see you again. And you now, of course, are a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. You've been inducted.
Yes, how do I look? Do I look any different?
No, not at all. It's
it was a wonderful honor, but I'm still absorbing it. You know, it just happened about a week ago.
So what happens? Do you play? Do you make a speech?
No, you have to make a speech. You're supposed to sit and be entertained by your peers, and I had an extraordinary evening because Buddy Miller and Patty Griffin sang Love Hurts. To start the whole evening, Vince Gill got up with just an acoustic guitar and sang Drifting Too Far from the Shore and reminded me of the time that he was playing with Pure Prairie League, and I actually came out on stage and sang that song with him. Lucinda Williams, couldn't believe it. I don't know how she got there because she doesn't like to fly. Bless her heart, she came out and sang Boulder to Birmingham and made it completely her own. And then Sam Bush came in from the Wilkes-Barre Festival. I didn't know he was going to be there. Sam Bush and John Randall and Patty and Buddy and Vince did a version of Green Pastures. So it was pretty great. And Guy Clark sang the song that he and I wrote for my father, which meant a lot because my mother was there in the audience, my brother. It was a very, very special evening, made more special because of the presence of my friends.
This album is a wonderful collection of songs, and you've taken your time over it, really. It's been sort of 4 years, really, isn't it?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years. I kind of lost track. But, you know, I was doing other things. It's not like we got stuck or anything, but, you know, I did the record and the tour with Mark. Well, mainly the tour, because the record was finished with Mark. We had a big box set coming out that took a lot of work and time and then promo. And I did a movie with Neil Young, you know, The Prairie Wind, and did some things with him and toured with Elvis Costello. I mean, I was having a really good time. I think it was hard for Brian to pull me off of there and say, come on in here, it's time to make a record.
And Brian is Brian Ahern, who
yes.
produced some of your first albums.
Right, right.
And you're back to working together after a big gap, about 25 years.
Well, this is the first full album we've done, but actually Brian and I have done a lot of one-off projects. We did a duet with Willie Nelson that was for the duets record at Gulf Coast Highway. Brian produced that, and we did a couple of things for movie soundtracks, and when the 25th anniversary of the Christmas album was coming around, we brought Kate and Anna down to Nashville, and we cut 3 tracks with them, and plus we were raising a daughter. So it's not like we hadn't been in touch, and we've kept after an initial bad period of time, we've renewed our friendship and our working relationship, and so this is really been great to go back in the studio with Brian and also the engineer that's worked on so many of those records, Donovan Coward, just created a, I think I said in my liner notes, a real sort of safety zone or a comfort zone where, you know, I just knew that they were going to get the best performance out of me, and we didn't have a real time constraint, so we could kind of take our time and let the album unfold.
Do you think, you've been in the business for 40 years, and you've reached this point where, and you know, you're not slowing down, you're sort of doing more things, but you seem to be in a really lovely place. You can almost enjoy things more now, and there's nothing left to prove, is there?
Absolutely nothing left to prove musically. I mean, I don't know. I guess you always feel like, you know, you that next record, you're striving for this or striving for that, but it's more like you're on that a wonderful road, a wonderful path with all these great people, and there's all these opportunities, you know, to, oh, I want to do this song, this is great, let's go on and do this. I have to say that I had settled pretty comfortably into being at home and going out maybe, you know, with whoever was available once a month on my, quote, year off that turned out into such a joke, but at least I wasn't on long tours. But I was still sort of working, but I'm very comfortable at home. I've gotten very involved in dog rescue. I actually have a a little dog rescue in my backyard and gotten very involved with the different organizations in Nashville and the surrounding areas. So, you know, there were times, you know, I did have to be, I admit, I had to be kind of pulled into the studio. Once you get in, you know, and things start to unfold and you hear this great overdub and you go, wow, that's so beautiful. You know, you get back into it. But it is true. I could be very happy spending more time with dog rescue and that. Never going to give up music because it's the only thing I really know how to do well.
Speaking of which, could you play a song for us, please?
Certainly. I'm going to try one of the songs from the record. This is actually quite an old song that I tried recording a while ago. It didn't seem to work. And but we gave it another try when we were doing this record. So this is called Gold. Well, the night is growing colder, and the stars have lost their shine, and I have been forsaken by everything I thought was mine. For in the darkest hour, when the final story is told, no matter I can never be gold. You gave up your finest treasure for the one you saw in me. But how could I know the measure of all you needed me to be? Though I came with sweet intentions, never be gold. I finally gave up counting the ways you said I led you down. When I fell into that river of no return, and you watched me drown. Oh, I could sparkle like a diamond, silver line my soul, but no matter how bright I glitter, baby, I can never be gold. You look so high and long for heaven. I tried so hard to show the way, but though I flew on wings of angels, my feet were old. Trailing clouds of glory, but you saw nothing to behold. No matter how bright I glittered, baby, I could never be gold. No matter how bright I glittered, baby, I could never be gold.
Emmylou Harris and Gold, one of the songs from the new album, All I Intended to Be. And on the album, you can also hear on that song the voice of Dolly Parton.
And Vince Gill.
Who did a
Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Hall of Famers all now.
And Dolly did a sort of Cyndi Lauper. She drove all night to get to the session, is that right?
She was on her bus, but she was so sweet. We arranged for her to come at a certain time with Vince, and she just got in her bus and drove all night. Got in to Nashville that night, 10 o'clock the next morning, completely dollied out in red, you know, drop dead gorgeous. She showed up and just aced it, you know, as usual. So I thank her so much for doing that, because ever since I wrote that song, you know, there's a little trill I try to do, not as successful as Dolly. But I always thought, well, one day I'm going to have Dolly sing a harmony on that and it'll be okay. So you just have to imagine it. on that version I just did, but then you can get the record and you can hear her in all her splendiferous glory.
Yeah. You've been looking back a little bit. Well, you did last year for putting that box set together. Mm-hmm. And I'm musing about things and the way life works and how close you came to sort of not meeting up with Graham Parsons.
Oh, it's one of those things that makes you pause. I mean, what would have happened if I hadn't met him? I mean, I'm sure my life would have been full of very good things and I would have done something, but I really cannot believe that I would have ever been a singer, or at least a successful singer. And so I'm just grateful that it happened that way, because I've had an extraordinary life, not just the music, you know, but all the people, you know, Graham, and then beyond, all the people that have come into my life, and most of them have been through music, that are have been friends, are still my friends, have enriched my life, and so...
All because your babysitter went to a certain concert.
All because my babysitter. All because I was a single parent. And, yes, my babysitter went to a concert in Baltimore where the Flying Burrito Brothers were playing, and I had met them. They had played in D.C., and they had just happened to wander into the little bar where I was playing and doing a country song, tongue-in-cheek. See, everything it shouldn't have happened karmically. It shouldn't have happened for me. I was just, you know, didn't understand and appreciate country music, but they thought I had an interesting voice, and Graham showed up at the Baltimore show because he was no longer in the band, and he was just showing up to be with his pals. And Tina, my babysitter, was backstage, and she overheard Graham saying, you know, I'm looking for a girl to sing some sort of Carl and Pearl Butler duets on my solo record. And they said, well, we heard this girl, you know, Amy Lou is her name, and we don't know how to get in touch with her. And Tina's going, well, I have her phone number. And, you know, I guess it was the next day I got a call from Graham. So the rest is history, as they say.
Because, I mean, you and Graham, in a way, are often credited with making country music hip, you know, making it cool sort of thing. Because I suppose Graham, you know, and the fact that he was doing country music,
He pretty much made it hip, I think.
Yeah, he was taking a chance on things, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was. He was way ahead of his time. And, you know, that's just the way it works sometimes. I was really lucky to get in right at that particular time. Of course, really lucky to, you know, meet him and find my voice, in the sense of quotations, you know, because I really didn't have a style. I was rampantly copying Joan Baez and Judy Collins and Buffy St. Marie. They were my heroes, and I had the long hair and new three chords on the guitar, and still basically have more of a folk voice than a traditional country voice. But by learning and loving and absorbing country music and singing it with a voice that was, I suppose, outside the box, so to speak, and becoming passionate about it. I mean, Graham gave me all those gifts, and I think by singing harmony, it was definitely the way I was supposed to learn how to sing, you know, not to try to emote, you know, let the song and the melody do the emotion for you. You're just an instrument in serving the song, really. And so I really found a place that I was incredibly comfortable, and it just clicked.
Another song, perhaps, Emily.
Okay, I'm going to try this song here. Oh, my darling, I miss you so. It's time for me to let you go. Oh, my darling, I miss you so. I can't believe you're really gone for good. I still haunt the places you once stood. I should move on, but I never could. Really believe just came home to bed. The road is long, the road is rough. You're in my heart, that's not close enough.
Emmylou Harris on Radio 2, and a song called Not Enough, which you can hear played live again, actually, if you go to Glasgow, Newcastle, Manchester or London in September, and Emmylou will be on tour. And the fragile beauty and the space you create in which you would hear a pin drop in a hall packed with people is hard to reconcile with the idea of a flying monkey going across the stage.
Oh, God. You know, I gotta watch what I say. I was part of the most wonderful, lovely, enjoyable tour back in January. It was called Three Girls and Their Buddy. I was one of the girls, Patty Griffin, Sean Colvin, and of course our buddy was the one and only Buddy Miller. And it was just, you know, four singer-songwriters on a stage at the same time, going one at a time. Different show every night. People would decide on different songs. Sometimes we'd work up stuff backstage and say, oh, can you sing a part on this or whatever. So it was totally spontaneous. But Buddy was always bringing stuff, like little laser battery-operated light, things, torches, that if somebody was tuning the guitar, we would all just pull up our light things. And these funny...
Yeah,
mini light show, you know, very cheap. we didn't have any smoke or videos or dancers or anything like that, and he found these monkeys, these flying monkeys. They had little bandit, you know, mask on, and capes. you would pull this little elastic string, and you know, like a slingshot, they would go flying across the stage and make this noise. Dare I do it? And I don't know why we got into this thing about doing flying monkeys across the stage. And the audience loved it. God bless them. I think they knew we were having fun, that we just absolutely delighted in each other's company, that we were enjoying the show as much as the audience, because it was new every night. And you never knew, you know, who's going to come up with a lovely little harmony part. And, of course, Buddy was playing beautiful stuff behind everybody, as well as doing his own songs. So, it would be lovely if we could bring it over here. It was such a delightful tour. We're definitely going to do it again in the States.
It's a lovely idea. When you get four songwriters together.
Yeah.
With their different stories and their different songs, just taking in turns, it makes for a wonderful evening.
Yeah. I will say that I really didn't do justice to the flying monkey sound. It's really something. Next time I come, Johnny, I'm going to bring...
You'll have it down.
I have the flying monkey.
Okay.
I have my own flying monkey, and I'm going to bring it just for you.
Okay, you're on a promise for that one.
I am.
Amy Lou, many thanks for coming in today. It was great to see you.
Always lovely to see you, Johnny.
We look forward to seeing you in September.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming back. It's really been a long time since I've been over here.